You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, our moods are often determined by how the Dodgers are doing, and it's hard to get too much better from a Dodgers perspective than what we saw this weekend.
Yeah, it really can't. And the fact that we're not a fan of days off after big wins because you want them to keep the momentum going. But I think it'll be nice to sit and enjoy an extra day of sweeping the Giants and putting them from the best record in baseball to third place in the NL West.
Yeah, especially because the day off means we don't need to sit through another bullpen game anytime soon. They're just skipping that spot in the rotation. And so we get to see Kershaw and Bauer take on the Astros starting tomorrow. So all in all, it should be a good day off today that will hopefully lead into a good series with the Astros tomorrow.
Yep.
Speaking of the series with the Astros, I want to let you guys know that tonight at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, we will be doing a live crossover episode with the guys from Locked On Astros to preview that series. You can watch it on YouTube. We'll tweet out the link. It will also be it will be tomorrow morning's episode. If you just want to listen tomorrow morning, that works too. So be sure to check that out. We'll be talking with those guys, Eric and somebody. I don't remember that other guy's name.
Brett.
Yeah, from Locked On Astros. And, you know, probably a little bit of trash talking a little bit, but it'll be interesting because I saw a note today that I guess I knew it deep down inside, but I hadn't put numbers to it. But there's only like a total of 10 guys between the two teams who were actually on the teams in the 2017 World Series. So while the fans are still pretty fired up, the actual individual players currently on the active rosters weren't actually around for 2017 for the most part.
But Trevor Bauer does care, so, and he pitches, does he pitch Wednesday maybe?
No, yeah, Bauer will pitch on Wednesday, so he'll be all fired up and, you know, pitching to Bregman. He's had a lot of back and forth with Alex Bregman. Does it count as a back and forth when one guy is 8 inches taller than the other one? More of an up and down, I guess.
Yeah.
Get it?
Because
Alex Bregman's super short.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about the Astros on tomorrow's episode. Today we're going to talk about the fact that the Dodgers swept the Giants, and which was what we were hoping for going in. Unfortunately, the Padres also swept the Mariners. It's not fair that the Dodgers were sweeping a good team while the Padres got to play the Mariners. But on the bright side, that's all going to even out. And the Dodgers are now ahead of the Giants, as it should be, a game behind the Padres. So, you know, it's still tight at the top of the NL West, but it's starting to shake out the way we're expecting it. So we're going to talk all about this Dodgers-Giants series. But first, just kind of some general news in this first segment. We're going to talk about injured list news. We had at least one new person go on the injured list this weekend. That was Jimmy Nelson. There might have even been another one. Oh, Garrett Clevenger. Was that this weekend?
Might have been.
Yeah, so this injured list is getting used so much, it's hard to even know. Jimmy Nelson went on the injured list on Sunday with right forearm tightness, they said, but which always scares us. But after the game, Dave Roberts said they don't think it's serious. They're not even sending him for tests or anything. It's just he just didn't recover well from his last outing, so they wanted to give him a week and a half off. So hopefully that's all it is, because Jimmy Nelson has found his command lately and has been really, really good out of the bullpen.
he's basically become one of the best arms, or if not the best arm out of the bullpen, right up there with Jansen the last couple weeks, and really starting to come into his own. And we talked about last week, if they want to stretch him out to be a starter, I think this just kind of maybe shows that more of the fact that we were right in that they keep him a reliever, keep his stint short, and keep him more effective. Yeah, the good thing is that he doesn't have to get tested, so hopefully that remains the case, and he just rests for a week and then comes back and back to his dominant self.
Yeah, and speaking of big right-handed relievers with right forearm issues, Bruzdar Gratterall seems to be close to coming back. He's been throwing bullpen sessions. He's with the team he was with the team in San Francisco this weekend, and then I think the plan is to send him out on a rehab assignment this week, right?
Yeah, he threw a bullpen on Saturday, I believe. Supposed to throw another bullpen on Wednesday, and then should head out for a rehab assignment, assuming all goes well. And, slowly but surely, as the Dodgers, as they lose a guy, they maybe pick a guy back up. We're going to talk about a couple other guys, not bullpen related, in Bellinger and McKinstry, who both started rehab assignments with OKC this weekend. Bellinger hit a home run on Sunday. Tony Gonsolin had a rehab assignment. He threw three innings, was scheduled for two innings, but was so efficient, ended up going three innings. So he can't come back till June 1st. So he'll probably throw one more time in between then and then come in and join as the fifth starter. So even with the injuries that continue to pile up, they're starting to get some guys back and get close. And, like we said earlier, with the team kind of shaking out, the standings kind of shaking out, Dodgers taking care of business, and now they're starting to get guys back, it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah, for sure. Belly and McKinstry both seem like they're aiming for next weekend, maybe even during the Giants series to return. During the game on Saturday that was on Fox, and it was Joe Davis and Eric Karras talking to Dave Roberts during the game, and they kind of joked that they needed to have Bellinger back by next Saturday's game, which is also a Fox game. And Roberts laughed and said he'd do what he could. But it seems like that might be somewhat realistic, because that's, it gets them both five or six games on rehab. And like you said, they're both seem like they are, obviously it's AAA pitching, which isn't quite the same, but neither of them seems lost at the plate right now anyway.
Yeah, McKinstry, it'll be the interesting one, just because he was so good when he started the year, and then we're not sure exactly how it's going to be, having a month off. I mean, he couldn't even start swinging probably until a week or a half ago or so with the oblique issue. Bellinger was more of an issue of, just him being able to run, him hitting home runs. He doesn't have to run as hard, so that's a good sign, and he played out there in the outfield. So it's good thing for the Dodgers. They've been running pretty good lately with the additions of Pujols and Tsutsugo, who have each proven to be guys that have better than the guys that they had on the roster, like we mentioned, bringing in runs, driving in runs, seeming to fit in the clubhouse. And now you kind of finally push off Peters, and well, Rayleigh's down right now, but they have an extra arm up. You start to get more major league hitters on the team. And that's always a good sign.
Yeah. So help is on the way. The only other bit of news is that Mookie Betts only played in one of the three games against the Giants. He played in the opener, had the second day off as kind of a spa day, as Dave Roberts put it. And then he was in the lineup for Sunday, but ended up being a late scratch because of left shoulder soreness. It seems like hopefully it was just if we scratch him today, then I have the day off on Monday, we can basically get him three full days off and maybe that'll help. Hopefully it's not more serious than that.
Yeah, you would hope not. And, the way things have gone this year would be surprising. But for the Dodgers' sake, I mean, he's been hitting well lately. He's really turned it around. You would have thought maybe back when he was struggling, it would have been something that bothered him. So for it to bother him now, hopefully just seems like, all right, we're just going to hold him out. We already won the series. We can go out there and win with Julio on Sunday and not have to risk it.
All right, so we're going to come back in a minute and talk about the actual series. That's kind of the health update for the Dodgers, but we'll come back and talk about this series against the Giants. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. Look, I'm not an investing expert. I don't even play one on TV. But one thing I know for sure is that very few people are good enough or lucky enough at picking stocks to beat the market. I know that I'm not one of them, and I doubt that you are either. So instead of trying to beat these infinitesimal odds, just team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. It's so easy. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Dodgers and all your other favorite sports teams. Vince and I host a room for Locked On Dodgers once a week, so you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Be sure to join us this week. We'll go live on Locker Room after the Dodgers-Astros game on Wednesday evening. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. We know you won't want to miss it. Like we said, this week, Wednesday, after the Dodgers-Astros game, we will be live. We'll see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about this actual series, Vince. There's a couple negatives, and maybe we start with the negatives so we can end on the positives, because there are a lot of positives. Obviously, when you sweep the team that came into the weekend with the best record in baseball, that's a positive outcome. Justin Turner has continued to struggle a little bit. Seemed to me like maybe on Sunday he hit the ball hard a couple times. He almost hit a double down the line. It was barely foul. And then in that same at bat, he ended up getting robbed of a base hit by the center fielder on a nice play. He had a deep fly out. Seems like maybe, you know, even though it's not showing up in the box score yet, he might be starting to see the ball better. But it's been pretty bad the last few weeks.
He hasn't been good, and he luckily hasn't hurt the Dodgers, at least for the last week. They won all their games, but he's been coming up in key situations, like I mentioned, I think last week when we talked about him struggling a little bit. The guys above ahead of him are getting on base. Mookie was getting on base. Muncy was getting on base. And Turner was coming up in key situations and not coming through. And you would imagine that it's just a matter of a slump, and you would hope that that's just a matter of a slump. I don't see anything really, you know, mechanically different with him. I don't see him getting beat consistently by a certain thing. You know, last year he had the trouble with velocity. I don't think it's that. I think it's just a slump, and maybe he kind of threw he shocked his system having such a hot April, and usually he heats up in May. So maybe he just flip-flopped the months this year.
Yeah, that could be it. But hopefully, I mean, he's still a very good hitter, obviously, and hopefully the fact that they are winning even without him being on, hopefully that just bodes well for when he does get it going again, because it can only help. The only other real negative I have from this weekend, and maybe you have more than me, but the only other negative I have is just a couple of the bullpen guys. You know, Edwin Uceta has kind of become this year's Brock Stewart, like the guy who, okay, well, we need a warm body on the roster to throw innings and mop up, but as soon as people are healthy, we're going to go months and months without ever even thinking about this guy's name again. And Dennis Santana is kind of hit and miss. You know, I don't know if he ended up allowing any runs on Sunday, but he definitely followed the Uceta route of loading the bases, putting guys on the bases, making Blake Treinen get warmed up, and just kind of not what you hope for in a game that was 11-0 at one point.
Yeah, it's concerning. Well, not concerning. It's concerning that those guys and blowouts, the couple times we've seen the Dodgers take a double-digit lead and not be able to hold it as well as they possibly could. I mean, 11-5 is still not bad, not as bad as when they played the Angels. But, yeah, Uceta's a guy, he did pretty well in bulk innings in the bullpen game last weekend. And, you know, he ended up getting lost, gave up 3 home run, but he did pretty well beyond that. I just didn't have it today. Dennis Santana's probably the concerning one because he was a guy that was considered a guy to be in the major league roster at the beginning of the season, and a guy that could potentially contribute innings, and He just comes in, and I don't know. It seems like when he comes in big situations or in key situations, like we saw earlier this year with the Padres and extra innings, he seems to have a little bit more focus, and maybe that's what he needs. And I think he loses some of that focus in mop-up duty, which is not a good sign for him, just because if the Dodgers see that, you know, they're not necessarily inclined to keep him on the roster if they don't need to, especially when the guys start getting healthy and people start coming back. So that's the concerning part. But, yeah, I would like the Dodgers, when they get double-digit leads, to just – keep them as like double digit leads.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we got to remember it's a small sample, of course. And so what looks to us like Santana being a different pitcher with less pressure, you know, might not be the case. It might just be that he happened to have a good day before, happened to have a bad day on Sunday. But yeah, whatever it is, those two guys, you have to think that as other guys get healthy, those are the guys who are on the chopping block pretty quick. Alex Facia had similar issues earlier in the series. So, but other than that, I think, did you have any other negatives from the weekend, Vince?
Not a negative, and overall it's a positive, but I just wish Trevor Bauer would be a little bit more efficient with pitches. I know he got cheated out of a few pitches one inning with the umpire, but you know, it seemed like he let it get to him a little bit, and he kind of lost control, and he did lose control and ended up walking the guy. But, you know, he can go 8-9 innings almost every time if he's efficient, and he just seems – I don't know what it is, whether it's just a lapse in control or a lapse in focus, whatever it is, I would prefer him to be a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, he had to throw, 126 pitches to get through 6 1/3 on Friday, and the Dodgers really needed that. And you know, you have to respect that he did gut it out, because he came back out. He had thrown 113 pitches through 6 innings, and he talked his way into staying in the game. Obviously, it would have been nice if he hadn't walked the leadoff hitter in the next inning and actually been able to complete 7 innings. But, you know, he knew the Dodgers just come off a bullpen game. At the time, we didn't realize that the Saturday and Sunday games were going to be relatively easy victories for the Dodgers. And so it was a big deal to try to save the bullpen as much as possible. So you got to respect that. And he allowed,
and they only had 4 arms on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. They only had 4 pitchers available. So obviously he really wanted to get through 7 innings, and you know, whatever it is, it was frustrating. The umpire cost him 10 pitches in that one inning by blowing the call against Longoria, I think it was. So it was, you know, It overall, though, I mean, he went 6 1/3 and didn't allow an earned run. The only run scored on a throwing error by him. That was the other thing that cost him some pitches. You know, between the bad call by the umpire and the bad throw by Bauer, that cost him close to 25 pitches probably. And so, you know, he probably goes 7 or even 8 without those two issues. But obviously, as my mom used to say, if wishes were fishes, we'd all have a fry. So, you know, things happen and you have to adjust. But, you know, if we could get 6 1/3 with 0 earned runs allowed from Trevor Bauer every time, I think we'd take that.
Definitely. And that's kind of what we've been getting from Bauer and from the pitching staff as a whole. I mean, we can just talk about the entire weekend. You had Buehler go 7 on Saturday. You had Julio go 6 on Sunday. Julio contributed with the bat as well. And it just continues. You know, the Dodgers right now, they got a 4-man rotation, but those 4 guys are going 6-plus every single time out, which is good right now, since they're running bullpen games every 5th game or when they need to every 5th game. So it's good in that sense. It would be a lot nicer once they get Gonsolin back and we don't have to see bullpen games anymore. But it just kind of continues to lead me to think as what they're going to do down the stretch. Are we going to see phantom IL stints? Are we going to see anything change? Are we going to see, you know, them slotting in a guy for a spot start or a bullpen game here and there? Because these guys are throwing 6-7 innings every time out, and we know that they didn't throw that many innings last year, and we know they want to keep them fresh for October. So that's just the kind of the thinking, not in a bad way. It's just kind of like, all right, they're going to have to do something eventually because these guys are doing so good right now.
And, yeah, that will be interesting to see how they adjust for that down the line. I assume once, you know, assuming Gonsolin comes back healthy, you know, they may still do occasional bullpen games to give guys an extra day, you know, try to keep all the guys around 30 starts, because if you can keep them at 30 starts, even going 6 innings, you know, that's 180 innings. That's doable. You know, if they're all between 180 and 200, you know, obviously it's a jump up from last year, but it, might be manageable, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. I assume they're already thinking about that. It looked like we might get 7 or 8 from Julio on Sunday. Actually, it looked like we might get 9 really special innings for a little while. And then the perfect game was broken up on an infield single. And then the shutout was broken up on a 2-run homer. And then, you know, another hit, and Julio ended up throwing over 20 pitches that inning. So instead of, oh yeah, we're definitely going to get 7 and maybe 8 out of him, it turned into, well, we got a good solid 6. But we'll take that 6. And, you know, if Julio every time could allow 2 runs and drive in 3 runs, I think that's a pretty good recipe for success too.
I think if you take this whole weekend as a whole, it's a good recipe for success.
Yeah, because we haven't even mentioned Walker Buehler, who also looked really, really good, pretty darn efficient, and didn't strike out as many guys, but did get strikeouts when he needed to, and looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So I think we'll take another break. We've covered the starting pitching. We'll come back. There's still a lot more good to talk about from the weekend. We had a Dodger debut. We had, Gavin Lux looking really good, and we had one other thing I want to talk about, so keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. As you know, baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're back. Couple more things to talk about from this weekend series. I guess first I want to talk about Nate Jones because, you know, Vince, you and I have been doing a podcast together for 5 years now between this show and our previous show. Nate Jones might be the first player to make his Dodgers debut without us ever having said his name on the podcast beforehand.
Interesting. You know, he was such a small deal, one of those guys. I mean, we haven't mentioned Phil Bickford and he made his debut as well, so maybe those two guys. But Nate Jones definitely had the better debut and the more impactful debut. And it was funny because I have a friend that's a Reds fan, and I guess Nate Jones was on the Reds last year. I had no idea who he was. I just know they claimed him from the Braves. And he said, wow, you guys must be desperate to be calling up Nate Jones. And then I texted him later on after Nate Jones delivered 1 2/3 innings in a close game against the Giants in the Bay and said, oh, thanks for letting him go last year and letting him find his way here. The Reds seem to like to help the Dodgers out in multiple ways. And yeah, he looked really good. He has an awkward pitching release and it didn't look pretty, but he got the job done. And apparently he was a two seam guy. Now he's a four seam guy, which works better up in the zone, which is what the Dodgers like, which is what he worked on. So I don't know if he's going to be a guy, but I definitely would like to see a couple more innings out of him before he gets sent down if anyone else comes off the IL or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I knew of Nate Jones when he was on the White Sox for several years, and he was a good, solid reliever. It seemed like the better his walk rate was, the better he was, which is understandable, makes sense, you know. And actually with the Reds last year, it was kind of weird because his walk rate was pretty good. His strikeout rate was really good. But he was allowing a ton of hits. And so it was like totally different from the Nate Jones of the rest of his career. His career high for hits per nine was 8.7. And last year with the Reds is 12.1. Just gave up a ton of hits. And then this year with the Braves, his big issue was his walk rate was way up. His walk per nine was 8.7. Whereas previously he's usually somewhere between 2.5 and 4.5, somewhere in that ballpark. And so really it's going to come down with Nate Jones to, can he command his pitches? Because we saw he has good stuff. And, you know, like you said, he has that funky delivery, which is always good for a reliever, you know, makes it trickeration, I think, as George W. Bush would have called it. It just, you know, it harder to pick up out of his hand or whatever. But yeah, he seems like if he could throw strikes, he might be a guy who might actually contribute to the Dodgers out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and he's a guy, like I said, just like to see more out of more from him. Uceda and Santana, like we mentioned earlier, probably aren't the best candidates to stick around much longer. But I don't know if I want to see him again in a close game like that, but I would like to see him again just pitching-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, Phil Bickford also came up, who another guy the Dodgers had claimed him off waivers from the Brewers, I believe, maybe a week and a half or so ago. And I don't know if we ever mentioned that, but he came in more of a mop-up role, and he was only on the roster because of the Jimmy Nelson injured list stint. And he did fine. He was definitely better than the couple relievers who preceded him, so he got the job done, gets a game finished in his first appearance with the Dodgers. Not quite a safe situation, but a good solid outing.
And he has cool long hair, so we'll see what happens with all those guys. But we've seen enough from Uceda and Santana, so maybe they give these guys a chance as the time goes on.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt, for sure. Gavin Lux, he was really good this weekend. He went 2-for-5 on Sunday, including a grand slam. Looked really good in all three games, if I remember. I'm looking at 1-for-4 on Saturday. So was it Friday? I feel like he had a good game on Friday. Where is it? Yeah, 2-for-4 on Friday. So it seems like Gavin Lux is now just a regular old good major league hitter.
Yeah, and he's talked about it, and we've kind of seen it, and we've kind of known this about confidence and just feeling comfortable at the plate. Dave Roberts mentioned last week that he's not afraid to make mistakes, whether it's offensively or defensively. We've already praised his defense a lot this year. His offense left a little to be desired early on. And I had mentioned, how long do they keep him as a guy if he has a sub-650 OPS, which he was under 600 at one point just a couple weeks ago, and now I believe he's close to 700, if not over 700 in total. And since Corey Seager's gone down, I think he's hitting 400. So he's definitely feeling comfortable, feeling good at the plate. And he's a guy that we saw when he was in AAA a couple years ago before he got the call up, that when he's on fire, he's on fire. He's hitting home runs. He's hitting the ball all over. He's, finding holes and everything else. And that's what he's been doing. He pimped the home run a little bit too early on Sunday, then had to put his head down to start running. But luckily for him, it went over the wall anyways.
697 OPS now. So, yeah, it's gone up by 100 points or more in the last couple weeks. So, no complaints about that for sure. And plus playing great defense. He had a play in the fourth or fifth inning of this game on Sunday that my son said, well, if Julio can complete the no-hitter, that's the play we're going to see on the highlights. He was a diving catch on a line drive to shortstop that, no disrespect to the guy who had been playing shortstop for the Dodgers, but I think that's a base hit 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and when we've talked about that extensively with Seager and kind of the range that he lacks and defensive prowess that he doesn't quite have, that maybe the Dodgers have helped him out with in terms of positioning. But Lex has already made a few plays that, like I said, Corey Seager would never make, and he seems to be all but over all the issues he had in 2019, or towards the end of 2019, or not in 2019, in 2020. So I'm excited for this Gavin Lux, and I hope he keeps it up and looks good. And like I said, I don't know if it'll be enough, depending how long Seager's out. I don't know if it'll be enough to prove to the Dodgers that they don't need to re-sign Seager, but they can definitely show, like, okay, if something happens and we don't end up getting Seager or one of the other shortstops, we have a guy that can capably be a shortstop in the major league.
Yeah, that's the most intriguing part to me because, like you said, it's hard to see him doing enough to say, okay, we have our shortstop of the future. We're not thinking about anybody else, but, it definitely makes it an interesting decision. Last thing I want to ask you about, Vince, Trevor Bauer playing the heel as he walked off the mound in San Francisco, putting his arms up, putting his hand up to his ear. You for or against that?
I'm for it. I mean, we've talked about this before, and as long as he's doing it after the fact that he's already pitched well, it would have been all over social media even more so had the Giants come back and won off the bullpen. But luckily for us, and good thing for the Dodgers, that didn't happen. And the Dodgers haven't had a guy like this in a while. Yasiel Puig was kind of that guy, but it wasn't necessarily on purpose. Trevor Bauer is more with a purpose, not necessarily on purpose, but with the purpose of being an instigator and being that guy and egging them on, whereas Puig was more of a guy that just happened to be that way because of the way he played, and then he kind of embraced it a little bit, whereas this is just straight up, you know, Trevor Bauer's embracing the role, and I like it. It gives the Dodgers a little bit of an edge that they maybe didn't have in recent years. Whether they need it or not, probably not, but I like it either way.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing I like most about it is it gives a little heat to the rivalry because, let's face it, the Giants are kind of a boring team, and you know, mostly not in a bad way, but like when Madison Bumgarner was on the team, you always had, okay, there's the guy we hate. And now it's like, you know, Buster Posey looks like Napoleon Dynamite. How can you hate that guy? You know, like you can root against him, but you don't hate him. Brandon Belt looks like a giraffe or a reverse negative of James Loney, but you can't really hate him. Brandon Crawford, you could kind of hate, got that greasy hair, but you know, they're just kind of a boring team. You could hate the stupid mustaches right now, I guess, but you know, so Bauer giving a little bit of heat to the rivalry, because I think right now it is the fans that are keeping this rivalry strong. Because let's face it, the Padres players care more about the Dodgers than the Giants players seem to. But I think the fans still, Dodgers-Giants is the historical rivalry for a reason. And I think it's nice that Trevor Bauer is adding a little heat to that.
And I think the only guy the Giants have that you could, I guess, technically dislike is Johnny Cueto. That just depends how you feel in certain things. But I do want to see a Johnny Cueto, Trevor Bauer start this year. That'd be a fun little thing for them. And yeah, like I said, it's all the fans. You heard the beat LA chants all weekend, even though they, in fact, did not beat LA.
They did not. How's that going for them anyway, huh? Yeah, I do hate Johnny Cueto, but I hated him long before he was a Giant. It's kind of like I hated Barry Bonds before he was a Giant too. Like me disliking those two guys had nothing to do with them playing for the Giants. So, you know, Bumgarner was the Giants. So he's still punchable. But all right, I think we about covered the weekend. You know, it was a great weekend for the Dodgers. They, like we said, they won three more games. They moved ahead of the Giants. Even when we talked on Friday and we kind of joked about, okay, well, when we talk again, the Dodgers will be a game ahead of the Giants. I don't know that we totally believed that they were going to sweep them. I think we both definitely expected a series win, and we hoped for a sweep, but I don't think we actually expected a sweep.
Yeah, it's one of the first times the Dodgers, well, at least the first time in a long time, the Dodgers went out and just showed that they were the better team in San Francisco. And it's kind of funny because the Giants have had worse teams in recent years and still been able to be more annoying and take two out of three early in the season, and this time they didn't. So that's a good sign for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and to sweep the Giants when Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, and Mookie Betts took a combined, what, 5 plate appearances in the whole series, you know, we'll take that.
Yep.
All right, I think that wraps it up then. Thank you all for listening. Remember, tonight at 6:30 Pacific on YouTube, we'll tweet out a link. We'll be doing a live Astros series preview podcast with the guys from Locked On Astros. That will be tomorrow morning's episode, so don't worry if you can't catch it live tonight. You can listen to it tomorrow. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet followed us wherever you get your podcasts, please do that. If you have family or friends who are Dodger fans who aren't listening, tell them about the show. See if they want to start listening. We would appreciate any publicity you can help us give. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address, if you want to leave, our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Knicks were left stunned and Father Time lost at the PGA Championship. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. All heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!